when like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seem like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see.
Oh, yes.
God will make this
Amen.
Trial a blessing.
I believe
That's
it, don't you? God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat.
Oh, God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world.
Child of God, these tests we must face.
Cause it is here that God will mold you,
make what you ought to be. God will make your
yes,
trial
he will.
A blessing.
I believe it tonight, don't you?
Has for me.
God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no need to talk with me.
God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Sing that third verse for me, buddy.
Now I'm standing.
Hallelujah.
Looking back, I can see.
Thank you, Father.
I was in my lowest valley. His strong hand was leading me.
Glory.
Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made
Thank
my
you,
trial
Lord.
A blessing. Oh, the love He has for me.
Believe that tonight. Amen. It's an honor to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Amen. So good to see each and every one of you. Trust you've come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth tonight. We had a time here over the weekend, didn't we? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Gets better all the time, don't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Sister Martha Ann says she wants to thank God for touching her. This last weekend, she had a stomach virus. She is feeling so much better, and she wants to thank you for praying. Thanks to the Lord for touching her body. Please pray for three small children that are involved in two separate custody cases. So let's remember those needs tonight. Jennifer McNew says to please pray for my grandfather, Ervil McKinney. He will be having open heart surgery on Friday morning, so we want to remember that need as we pray tonight. Please pray for Brother Lloyd Vermillion, who was healed of lymphoma several years ago, but the doctors have told him recently that it has returned. And so we'll remember that prayer request. Also, some family issues and problems that they're going through. Let's just pray that the Lord would meet all those needs. God is certainly mindful of their situation. Brother Randy Scott says, please keep a very dear brother and sister in prayer, Paul and Sarah Wolfenbarger. They need a physical touch from the Lord. Also, I would like to thank everyone who prayed for the prayer request that I turned in a week or so ago for Rachel. And I would like to thank the Lord for intervention and seeing us through the situation. Thank you, and may God bless you all, Brother Randy Scott. So we thank the Lord for that testimony tonight. Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord for touching his cousin, Ralph Necessary. Thank all of you who prayed for him. He is out of the intensive care in a room now. So they thank the Lord for that tonight. Please have prayer for the family of Brother Mike Pierce. Mike passed away and was buried yesterday. So we certainly want to pray for the Pierce family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. We want to pray for Sister Tanya Elliott. Got sick on the way to church. Needs prayer. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. Also, Sister Vicki Tidwell is out of the hospital, and we will thank the Lord for that. Suffering from gout in both feet right now, so let's pray that the Lord would touch her and just give her a speedy recovery. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, you have a need, you'd like for somebody to remember your need tonight, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. You believe God's able to meet our needs tonight? Amen. We just want to have our faith released to believe the promises of God. By His stripes, we've already been healed. We've already been healed. Somebody say it's the truth. May our faith just surge to that promise and lay hold on it. I believe God wants us to do that, don't you? Amen. Could we stand to our feet tonight? We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Harry, let's sing that third verse one more time, if you will. And we'll sing the chorus, and then we'll have our prayer tonight over the prayer request. Amen.
Now I'm standing on the mountain. Looking back, I can see I was in my lowest valley. His strong hand was leading me.
Oh, yes, it was.
Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and the taste sweet victory. God has made this child a blessing for the love He
Praise
has
the Lord. Sing it to Him now, church. Make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, getting Him there, sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged. I'm not gonna talk defeat.
Oh, God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world. Sing it one more time with all your heart. Glory. Though my tears flow like a river, getting Him there, sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat.
Oh, God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world. Dyer, come tonight, brother. Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests tonight. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Somebody say, God is good.
God is good.
Amen. Brother Dan, God bless you, my brother.
Let's pray together. Our gracious, lovely Lord Jesus, we come here tonight with a thanking You, adoring You, and praising You, Father, You, all You've done for us in the And to let us know, this message has told us more than anywhere we've ever heard, any church or any place we've ever been in has never made it as clear as it has been here of Your love for us. We come back to give You that love tonight. Father, I hold these requests in my hands, and we do believe. Father, we believe Your word. We trust in You that You have this in your hands, Lord, to bring this to pass for these people, Father. Lord, we just ask You to be with us through the rest of this service, dear Lord, and again, we thank You from the depths of our hearts for what You've done, and we can't wait to see You face to face. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
God bless you. Why don't you just turn around and look at somebody. Look at somebody and tell them, God bless you. If you want to shake their hand, that's up to you. But look at them and tell them, God bless you. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Something keeps holding me. Let's sing that tonight. Something keeps holding me. Play it, boys. Sister Betty, play it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's just give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Oh, he's worthy, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this song tonight. Something keeps holding me. I'm so glad about it tonight. Amen. Something keeps holding me every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials.
Guiding me constantly.
Thank you, Lord.
He's giving me victory.
Well,
it's a reality.
Something keeps holding me. Sing that chorus again.
rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to a mansion just over in glory, for I'm a righteous heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share.
Tonight. Do you believe it with all your heart?
Praise the Lord. Well, you're just singing too good tonight. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you're just singing too good. I appreciate you. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Darrell Ward's going to come at this time. He didn't want to do it, but I asked him to do it, and he said he would. So, Brother Darrell, wherever you're at, come on out here, buddy. I'm going to let you lead us in a chorus. You just bear with him. God bless his little heart. We love this guy right here, don't we? Amen. You're a doll, buddy. I want him. He knows this course really well, and he sings it really well, and we're going to help him tonight. And we love you, Brother Darrell. God bless you, buddy. As Brother Donnie gets ready to come, let's all just stand.
Amen. Certainly wonderful to be a Christian. Amen. To be able to come to the house of God and hear the truth. And to know that we was in his thinking before the foundation of the world. The world may look at us and think that we're not worth much. But when he looks at us, he sees that we're precious in his sight. Because he redeemed us with his own blood. Isn't that wonderful? To be a part of the kingdom of God. Let's just sing that song together. Worth. He thought I was worth saving. Amen. He thought I was worth saving. So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everywhere
I go.
He thought I was worth saving.
Hallelujah.
So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life. So I could be free.
Amen.
So I could be whole. So I could tell everywhere I go.
thought I was worth saving.
Yes, he did.
So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth giving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everywhere I go. He thought I was worth saving. Hallelujah.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Aren't you glad he did?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 21, verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and has polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut." My, my. The continuation of the book of Acts. Now, this is a gospel of peace, isn't it? Isn't this a gospel of love? Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I must have broke contact with y'all. This is a gospel of peace and a gospel of love. Don't sound much like it, does it? Next to Jesus Christ in the New Testament, this man right here was the next most important man in God's economy. And he was the biggest troublemaker in the New Testament church. But he was not a troublemaker by his own choice now. But it's what God chose him to bring. Oh my. Let's pray together. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Amen. We've got a bunch of sickness folks in the church and our community and schools and all. Let's take that before the Lord as well, if you will. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We're so grateful for your mercy to us, Father God, your kindness that's been extended to us, Lord. We pray tonight, Lord, as we look into your blessed word, that you once again would come with your great anointing, Father, and quicken your word to us. How thankful we are for the book of Acts. We certainly do appreciate it. It gives us such a view of what you've done, Lord, and what you started out your church in doing. And Brother Henry Green used to say it years ago, you started out your church the way you wanted it, and you'll end up your church the way you started it. So we believe that, Father. We're so grateful that we're a part of that ending up church. We ask you that you speak to us tonight by your word. You see the different needs of those that are sick, Lord. You see there's so much flu, to their different strains of it, different things going among the people, even in schools, in our community. We pray for your intervention, dear God. Bring deliverance and healing to your people, I pray. Speak to us tonight from your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
And the saints said,
amen.
And the saints said,
amen.
Boy, that sounds good. God bless you. You can be seated. There's something about the mindset of a mob. You know, the mob doesn't have to have facts. The mob doesn't need truth. And it's the same way with a church mob. You know, there can be a church mob as well as there can be this type of a mob. And it certainly is so with a political agenda to where that it becomes a mob. And I want you to notice in verse 30, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together. Now watch this mob mentality. They're not sure exactly why they are running together, but they're just running together. Now watch in the way that Luke, when he goes to writing this, and the people ran together and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. So the outcry in the temple was so loud, so obnoxious, such an uproar that it draws other people. Now you know it as well as I do that when an uproar begins to happen, many times the curiosity of the people who see it, who are aware of something going on, they make a bigger mess than the initial instance. You watch a wreck on the side of the road. A guy runs over and hits somebody on the side of a fender bender, and you're in a backup for a mile and a half or 2 miles. And you're waiting to get through, and you get up there, and here's a little scratch about that long in one car, and one about that long in the other car, and you're thinking, what in the world was all this traffic backed up for? It was all them nosy people that was passing them two cars, and every one of them just gawking and looking and looking and slowing down. And you say, look, folks, I'm in a hurry, okay? Would you go on? If you want to gawk, pull up. But it's something about people's human nature. Now, you watch this mob mentality as they are gathered together. So they hear this big ruckus. They don't know exactly what's going on. But they go to hearing, what is it? I don't know, but we better go. Oh, my goodness. Somebody said, oh, my. We better hurry up and get over it. Well, the more comes and the more stir it comes among them. And here they are gathering around and all piled up in one big pile. That's a dangerous place to be into, I'm telling you. Now watch, whenever they come together, then they begin to hear the noise and the tumult, and it naturally alarms other people. And then they draw Paul outside of the temple. Now they have one thing in mind. They are not going to pat him on the hand and say, you get out of here and leave us alone. They're going to kill this guy. They have no qualms whatsoever about killing him or pretending to go on to kill him. They have no problems whatsoever in planning to kill this man without a trial, without a jury, without any condemnation according to the law of Moses or according to the Roman law. They have no problem whatsoever in doing it, but they're definitely not going to mess up the temple in the holy place. Now, killing a man ain't that big of a deal, but just don't make a mess in the house of God when you're doing it. Now, you realize, now you laugh at that and you say, my people, boy, them people was crazy. People are just as crazy today. They will strain at an ant and swallow a camel. Now you know that it's the truth. Now you realize that they were so holy and so pious in the way that they looked at the temple and the court and all of that. There's no way they're going to shed this man's blood inside of there. But the value of a human life, blood can be washed up. A mess can be cleaned up. But this man's life could not be restored, but their values are so messed up. Can't you see why they needed salvation? But the problem was they didn't know they needed salvation. Their very action by this proved they needed to get saved. Oh my. Notice this in verse 31. And as they went about to kill him. Now this is their intention. Now Luke, of course, is not a prophet. Remember, Luke was not called in the sense of the way Paul was. But he's been around these people enough to know their intent. And watching and seeing what they are doing. They're not just going to call him aside and rebuke him now and talk to him a little bit. But this is the type of thing that is actually going. No doubt this is some of what Agabus and the seven daughters of the evangelist and the other people kept saying, you're going to face danger. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And the Holy Ghost knew this before it ever took place. Now, they have made up in their mind that they're actually going to kill this prophet. If it wasn't for the grace of God, they would have done it. Aren't you glad the grace of God spares us? Now watch, as many as went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain. Now this is the manner of the zealots. This is what basically these people were, without bringing him before any court of justice. As far as they was concerned, he needed no court of justice. So they're breaking this law and that law and that law and that law, but they've got to get rid of this man. Now by doing that, they can break all these other laws, but by killing him, God will understand. So it's no problem. Gossip about people, tell lies, run them down, put things on Facebook, makes all type of YouTube videos. Don't have the facts, don't prove it, but that don't matter. You got to deliver people out from under this message. You better have your case presented real good. Because all those folks that are trying to run this message down, one day are going to stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God. And then Almighty God will demand of them an answer. You see, really, when it comes right down to it, folks, for those folks who have left the message and trying to excuse it as being wrong and this and that and the other, their problem is not with you. Their problem is not with me. It's not really with Brother Branham. Their problem is with God. Why would God vindicate a liar? Why would God give a man which had the greatest ministry outside of Jesus Christ himself? Why would God work with a man which is a hypocrite and a liar and a deceiver of people? So you better have all your videos and all your books and all your photographs and all your eyewitnesses, because one day you're going to need them. And when you stand before God, I feel sorry for you, because God will not be merciful in that hour. Praise the Lord. Exactly right. Now, watch. We realize, of course, today that we are living in the repeat of the book of Acts. The only reason that people do not try to kill us today physically is because the anointing of this hour. Now, we're living under what we would call a pre-tribulation anointing, to where the anointing is moving on the earth. And if you notice, when Jesus came on the earth, it was a changing of dispensations by the time John the Baptist had introduced the coming of the dispensation of grace. And when the Lord Jesus was here, there was never such mercy that was displayed. But look at the anger and the contrast. The Jews were so angry and they hated him so much. Why? Because they themselves were living under the pre-tribulation anointing that was fixing to be ushered in by Titus and the Roman government, which is going to destroy them. So this anointing, they are actually moving under it themselves. So they start destroying and telling lies and doing all sorts of things. Don't you understand why our world is doing exactly the same thing? They're moving under a pre-tribulation anointing. North Korea is, Iran is, come on children, Russia is, America is. It's a pre-tribulation anointing. Oh, hallelujah. But if there is a pre-tribulation anointing, there must be a pre-rapture anointing, which is here, hallelujah, that's going to get a bride ready for the rapture. If the devil's getting his ready, I guarantee you God is getting his ready as well. Amen. Notice, so they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain. Now notice this of the band. Thank God for his mercy and grace that he would have a Roman heathen nearby. Now ain't this something? The people of the book, which the Jews are called in the Quran, the people of the book, which are supposed to know so much about God, are fixing to kill God's prophet messenger, and a heathen is fixing to save him. Oh, glory to God. Notice, and they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Now, the way this works out, there at the Tower of Antonia, real close to where the Tower of Antonia was. And here, because it is such a loud uproar, this man is basically in charge. Now, when he's fixing to come, he has several centurions with him. Each centurion had 100 men. So there were several hundred men that were required to be able to come and save Paul from this mess that was going on. How would you like that to be on your pastor's resume? All All Jerusalem was in an uproar and in a confusion. Now, would the modern church of the day ever want a man like this in their pulpit? You know, we're going to give St. Paul to come up for a revival, so we're going to buy a little clip in the Johnson City Press. We're going to buy a quarter of a page in the Elizabethan Star. And we're going to mention his credentials and all that he's been through. He's been beat with rods. He's been thrown out of town. Escaped out a wall one night down in a basket. He's been run down, called everything in the world. But we're going to get him for revival. Anybody wants to come, come hear him. Yeah, right. Well, you realize that in that day, the people that was around, even some of the Christians, they struggled with being able to receive from this kind of a man. They looked at James, and James went to the temple with some of these same people, and they didn't hate James. Wow. Peter went to the temple with some of the same ones, because remember, the early church still did not have churches yet. They were still going to the temple and the synagogues to worship. And then they started having house meetings, and then they developed their own churches. They didn't have their own churches yet. So they would still go to the temple to pray. They would still go to the synagogue to pray and discuss the scriptures. They didn't have a happy valley the way we do. And yet James could rub shoulders with them nearly every day, and they didn't have a problem with him. They didn't go along with him. But what about this guy? Which one would you prefer to be around? Both of them are necessary. Both of them have got their part in the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you one thing. I love James. James had some good understanding. But he was sure limited in what he understood about the dispensation to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord, saints. They didn't know it, but they needed Paul. Praise God. Now notice in verse 32, who immediately took soldiers and centurions, plural, and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So here they are beating this Holy Ghost preacher. And when they see, notice now how law-abiding these folks are. The Roman law put them in check where God's law would not. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you have to use man's law. Folks want to come in this church here and to serve service. If you won't obey God's law, we'll have you arrested. Free motel and free bed and breakfast in the county jail. You won't do it, Brother Donnie. Don't try me. I will do it. This is the house of God. And if you won't obey the deacon's law, we'll call the Carty County Police. We've got some deputies sitting here tonight, and whatever more, so if need be, we'll use them. Praise the Lord. So here, what did God do? God couldn't get a hold of these bunch of hard-headed Jews. Now, they were following the prophet. So they said. They believed every word he said. So they said. If they would have had tapes, they'd have played them. They didn't have tapes, but they had books. So instead of playing them, they read them. It didn't do them no good because they only picked out what they wanted. They had a cafeteria type of message. I don't like this. I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want that. But that's one good thing about a Holy Ghost filled preacher. You can't be able to select. I want dog dessert. I want that salad. I want this, that, the other. God just shells it out, hits you right between the eyes with it, and it's coming so fast you can't even shove it away. You say, ah, right down right then when you open your mouth. You see, God knows exactly how to do it. So what's he do? He rescues his prophet with a bunch of heathens. Glory be to God. So if the message folks want to turn against us, God can save us by a bunch of Carter County drunks if he wants to. You ain't going to destroy God's work, friends. This is not Happy Valley work. This is not Donnie Reagan, Darrell Ward, West, David, whoever more, Brother Terry. This is not our work. This is God's work. This message is not just our message per se. It belongs to God. Oh my. So the fear of God didn't stop them, but the fear of man did. Praise God. The wonderful providence of God. They are still beating this guy. Lord Jesus. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Now I want you to remember, Agabus said, the man who owns this girdle will be bound by the Jews and turned over to the Gentiles. But Agabus put the girdle on his hands and on his feet. Now you have to be careful with prophecy to make sure you're listening. Now it would seem as if though, that Paul, in order to fulfill that prophecy, would have to have chains on his hands and on his feet. But he didn't. He didn't. Now listen. The chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. Two chains. Now to English, in the English language, it don't mean anything to us. But when you look at the Greek word here used for chain, this is the chain that was used on the hands only, not the feet. Now, they would take one chain and put around his arm here, and then put it on the arm of a soldier. Take the other chain, put on this arm, and put it on the arm of another soldier. Now, here he is bound between two soldiers. But does that look like prophecy fulfilled? In one sense of the word, it would look like that Agabus missed it. His feet ain't bound. Well, glory. Well, I'm looking for the newspaper article where there's so many people that fell off the bridge. And I'm looking for this and I'm looking for that and I can't find it. Well, let's just take Agabus to task then. Let's just see now, did the Romans come and bind Paul with a girdle? Does your Bible say they brought two girdles? What? You mean they used chains and Agabus used a girdle? And chains was fulfilling a girdle? Hallelujah. I love getting the devil in these spots. Come on, saints. Now, this is your scriptures. My. Now, what? So they fasten him between the two soldiers like this. Now, what's in Acts chapter 21, verse 1. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews. He said the Jews. But the scripture said the Romans. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. But yet it was actually the Gentiles who bound him. Now come on, saints, don't sit there and look all bug-eyed at me. Once again in Acts chapter 12, verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth. Now this is Simon Peter. The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with. Now this Greek word is allosif, meaning a chain on the hands as opposed to padeh, a fetter, and therefore two chains are not to be understood of on his hands and feet. Now, one Greek word is used for a chain on the hand, and the other, padef, is the one for the foot. But yet, is this really prophecy? So when a prophet would prophesy and see a vision, he might see a sheep. It might mean sheep, or it might mean wool. Prophetically, you might look out there and see symbols of this and that and the other, and you basically say what God's given you, but when it goes to coming to pass, it may not be quite like the words you just said. Wow, we have to understand prophecy. Now, you do believe that Agabus told the truth. You do believe Paul was fulfilling what he had to say. Amen. Now, watch this. So when Peter now is held in prison sometime prior to this, they do him exactly the same way. Now, this was the Roman custom. So when Luke writes about it, he chooses the right, correct words, and he displays the same thing that happened to Paul. So Paul is actually chained to this one guy here and to this other guy over here, but his feet themselves are not bound. But yet, in a sense, they are bound because he cannot go where he would go because the chains are on his hands. But you see, in our thinking, we would think, well, now in order to fulfill that prophecy, I mean, there's got to be one on his hand and one on his foot. No, both of them were bound because even though he was bound by his hands, he was no longer free to be able to go where he wanted to go. Praise the Lord. You understand? Now, watch again in verse 33. And the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. So he goes to asking around. Oh, my God. You can just imagine now all the reports you're going to get. There's CNN, there's Fox, there's NBC, CBS, the BBC, and there's a long flop tongue, and there's Big Fat Mouse, and there's O'Malley Gossiper, and there's this and that and the other. Oh, my, by the time this guy gets done with all of these, he don't know a bit more than what he did before he started asking. That's kind of the way it is in a mob mentality. Why are we against this guy? I don't know, but I'm against him. Well, we need to do that. Let's kill him. Why? I don't know. Let's just do it. Folks, friend, people ain't changed. People ain't changed. They're just, you know, going on about different things, really. Now watch in verse 34. Some cried one thing and some another. Among the multitude, when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. Oh, I'll tell you, that's about the way it'd be today. Why did you leave the message? I'll tell you one thing. It was this and that and that. Somebody said, no, that ain't why I left. I mean, I left because of this and that. Why'd you leave? Why'd you leave? I don't want to get out of here. I ain't going nowhere. Well, I'm glad to be out of these walls. And we're saying, I'm glad I'm in these walls. Amen. Oh, that's prison walls to me. That's like castle walls to me. Just depends on how you look at it. She said, all them do's and don'ts and thou shalt not and thou shalt not. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I like it. It kind of helps me know what I can do and what I can't do. And how to live. I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have correction on how to live, what I could do and what I could not do. I can't stand laws. I can't stand you can't do this and you can't do that. So if you had the ability to build you a $1.2 million house in the ridges, then in other words, you wouldn't mind some old feller pulling up a single wide trailer that lived up Gap Creek somewhere, had about 13 goats, 12 coon dogs, some hogs. You wouldn't mind that at all because you don't like rules. So are them rules bondage or are they for your protection? So you pay, you know, whatever for a lot out the ridges, and then you pay a contractor to build this great big fine fancy house, and you move in and you ain't been in there a week's time. The new ain't even wore off. And this single wide trailer with a half the siding hanging off on one side, and they bring in the goats and the nanny goats and the billy goats, and they're just right close to you every morning. You're not woke up with some fine chimes out of your sound machine. It's Billy out there and it's the old rooster cock-a-doodle-doo, and you're going to tell me you don't like restrictions and rules. Come on now. It's the same way with the Word of God. I'm glad there's restrictions. It keeps the infidels out. It keeps the unbelievers out. It keeps the Jezebel. Oh, we want everybody. I don't want everybody. I want only those who can comply. Only those who want to live right. Amen. So some cry one thing, some cry something else, and this guy said, I don't know what to do. He said, you bring the guy up here, let's question him. So they carry him into the castle. Oh my goodness. What a cargo. What a cargo. There's no way they knew what they were packing. Here's the first church angel, the church age messenger. Praise be to God. They look at him. They have no idea who he is. They don't know what he's got into. This captain thinks he's an Egyptian. Thinks he's nothing but a troublemaker. Little did they know. Oh, my. The people who get behind you and honk their horn or pull over in front of you or whatever more, give you bad looks, if they only knew who they was looking bad at. Oh, my. They get aggravated at you and say whatever more because you live this. If they only knew what's in you is the treasure of Jehovah. Eternal life. My. Notice this. Now he's going into the Tower of Antony. Actually, Herod, whenever he built this, he named this after his friend, Mark Antony. You've heard of Mark Antony in history. This is where it received its name, the Tower of Antonia. Now watch in verse 35. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. Born of the soldiers. So here they are carrying him. They got to get him up above this trouble. Boy, if God don't know how to make your enemies pack you around, spread a table before you in the presence of the enemies and make your enemy pack you up the steps. Man, that's better than an elevator. Oh, glory. Notice Josephus says about the Tower of Antonia. It was situated at the corner of two cloisters on the court of the temple. On the west, and that is on the north, erected on a rock of 50 cubits, which is 75 feet. In height, it was a great precipice on the corner where it joined the two cloisters of the temple. Notice where they are now. This Tower of Antonia is set right near where the temple was. Thank God. If it had been way on the other end of the temple court, they could have killed this man before they ever got to him. God knows how to work things out. So he was born on these shoulders, them carrying him, however it was that they was moving for the violence of the people. Now watch, he's going to climb up them steps. And as they go, the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. Oh my, you talking about furious and angry. Away with him, or that is, kill him. Kill him. Away with him. Do away with this man. Oh, church, let me stop here for a minute. Oh, to be like our Savior. Many folks want to heal the sick like Jesus. They want to raise the dead like Jesus. They want to walk on water, whatever more. Oh, but to me, also, this is an attribute, to be hated like Jesus. We don't like that, do we? No, we want to be loved by everybody, appreciated by everybody. You're not like Jesus if everybody loves you. If people, everybody in the world loves you, there's something wrong with your experience. Come on now. Dude, they said almost word for word what they said about our Lord. Don't think it's strange that this world will hate you. Oh my. St. John 15:18, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So what are they saying to him? Oh, do away with this guy. We can't stand him. Get rid of him. Oh, God. Notice in verse 37, and as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Now, Paul speaks to this captain in the Greek language. Now, this is a sign of nobility. This is a sign of education. I'm going to tell you one thing, friends. You're going to say here tonight, Paul was a very straightforward individual. A very stern, straightforward individual. But he was also a man of great cunning. Spiritual cunning. Now, not deceitful. So watch him now. He speaks to this captain. And he says, may I speak unto thee who said, Paul says, can I speak to you? And the captain says back, canst thou speak Greek? Can you speak Greek? Oh my, I thought you was that Egyptian guy. Canst thou speak Greek? So when he does, then it gets the attention of this man. Now the Greek language was pretty much the most universal language as it was in this time frame, even in the Roman Empire. So it was a language that a lot of the Jews would not have understood at all.
Because they would speak the broken Aramaic as it come from the Babylonian captivity. It kind of merged the Babylonian language with the original Hebrew. And when it would have been that type of language, and then as they come back to merge a little bit of the Greek in it, and they identified it as Aramaic. But it was not the pure original Greek language of the Greek Isles. But here Paul spoke the fluent Greek language. So when this captain hears it, now you know that Paul knew several different languages. Why didn't he speak to him in Hebrew? Now what's this captain, art not thou that Egyptian? Which before these days made us an uproar and led us out of the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? So Paul, imagine him thinking, whew, I'm going to get out of this after all. They think I'm an Egyptian. Now this Roman guy, he couldn't get nothing out of the rest of them. Well, what is it? Oh, he's a blasphemer, isn't it? But he said, who is the guy? So he's thinking in his mind, it must be that Egyptian that's come back. So when Paul speaks to him in Greek, he's so shocked. He says, this is the Egyptian speaks the Coptic language. Where did you learn how to speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian? Now Josephus speaks of one that came out of Egypt to Jerusalem. And he gave out that he was a prophet. And deceived the people who were persuaded to follow him to the Mount of Olives, where they should see the walls of the city fall down at his command. Now this was an Egyptian now. But apparently either a half Jew or, you know, Egyptian or whatever more, it's hard to say. Because the Bible discredited him enough to not mention his name. So he went out and told the people though, that whenever I speak to the walls of Jerusalem, they're going to fall down flat. I mean, it must have been a pretty charismatic sort of a guy. Because he gets thousands of people to follow him. It never ceases to amaze me how some folks will follow just about anything. It's the same way in the message. Some folks, they follow this for a while and they leave that and they follow that for a while. It's not, they're never able to find. Their constant conquest is searching for the Messiah. He's here. He's the Word. But you realize why message folks, they get through this preacher and then they got to go with that preacher and that one. Why? There's something within them that's never met the Messiah. They're not satisfied within themselves. They have a roaming, meandering spirit and they follow this man and that website and that website and they don't know what to believe and they're confused. Get the Holy Ghost, friend. Get the Holy Ghost. He'll solidify you and put you on a firm foundation. Notice now these people were called Sicarii, or assassins. They came to Jerusalem under a pretense of worshiping God at the temple. But they were so audacious that they would murder people in the daytime. So they would get right in the middle of the crowd. Now this is the way they would do it. So they were the Sicarii. So they would hide their daggers or their knives underneath their real long robes and clothes. And they would get right among them and just come right up against somebody. Just jab them in the back, slit the throat, cut them wherever more. But yet under the pretense of worshiping God and believing the message. Believing the prophet. But yet they were going around killing people, sowing discord, causing death under the leadership of a false prophet. Oh my. Now, they would mix with the crowd and they would look like the crowd and act like the crowd and say no doubt certain cliches that the crowd were saying so that it wouldn't set them off. You know, they would not be alarmed and then they would start carrying out their deeds. Now, these guys were really something. So they would be, and when they would kill somebody, this was their tactic, when these Sicarii would go through among the people and kill somebody and then somebody would go to screaming, ah, ah, ah. This man's dead. This woman's dead. These same guys would come around and say, ah, ah, ah. They would act so appalled. They would act like this is horrible. This is terrible. And they're the ones who done it. We've got some Sicarii in the message. Now, this went on for quite some time. Notice this now. 4,000 of these men, the Egyptian impostor here spoken of, led out from Jerusalem, going into the country. And having raised his reputation, which is very important to a kingdom builder, raised his reputation among the people, he gathered together a great multitude, which amounted to at least 30,000 men. 30,000 men. Isn't it amazing how Satan can tell the discontent of the people being dissatisfied, and he can send almost anybody in and somebody will follow him. Now what this man done, all the things, but just giving them a bunch of empty words. I'm going to speak and the walls is going to fall down flat. I'm going to speak. Well, what signs did the man have? None I could find in history. What truths did the man have? None I could find in history. What great things did the man do? None I could find in history. Nothing but empty promises and lies. But it showed the conditions of the people that were expecting something. They were under anticipation of something. They didn't like Roman bondage. They didn't like taxes. They didn't like this and that. And that makes people very open and looking for something, searching for something. It also makes them very vulnerable to false prophets. Mama. Having assembled a sufficient number, he brought them round out of the wilderness up to the Mount of Olives, which he intended to force his way into Jerusalem. For whether he came thither, he promised his deluded followers that they should see the walls of the city fall down at his command. You imagine Paul felt insulted and he found out he's been identified by this guy. Man, don't you call me that. Don't you call me. I ain't no false prophet. I'm telling the truth. Don't you identify me as no Egyptian or no Sakari. I'm Sakari, all right, but I'm cutting devil's heads off, not people. I ain't no Egyptian. I ain't identified with no mess like that. Isn't it amazing that Satan will send things out that will forerun the truth? Look at the revivals, friend. Look at the revivals that's been around this message. Every one of them has been called a bride revival. Every one of them has been called, and there's more going on to this very night. Oh, it's the bride's gathering. It's the last thing for this and that and the other. You know what that tells me? It tells me there's going to be one last filling. One filling of the dynamics of God that will strike the bride's mechanic. And all these are closer than Pentecost. They're closer than A.A. Allen and Jack Cohen, all of them was. It's going to be right out from under us. But hold steady, little bride. Hold steady. Don't you leave that word. Don't you follow this Sakari assassin that cut this man and cut that man and cut another man. Stay with the word. It has life. Amen. It'll lead you out of this world. Notice this. Upon his revival at the Mount of Olives, Felix came out suddenly out upon him with a large body of the Roman soldiers, both horse and foot, and the citizens in general prepared also to defend themselves against him. This speedy and general opposition so surprised him that he dared not venture an engagement, but presently fled away with the body of his most trusted deacons. I mean trusted friends, as is usual in such cases. But this is the mystery part. They never did get him. So this captain thinks, you're that Egyptian. You've come back. You've come back to stir up more trouble. But Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. A citizen of no mean city. I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Typical preacher, always looking for an opportunity. Now, Tarsus was a very important city with Roman commerce. Now, what's this man? He could have said he was from here, lived over there, I've been through here and there and there. But watch how he places his words. I'm a citizen of Tarsus. I'm of no mean city. As a matter of fact, you were of Tarsus. A great Roman seat of power and government. We pay a great stream, a large amount of taxes because of the wealth. Now watch him. So this man automatically, his view of Paul is changing. Oh, so you're not an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Jew from Tarsus, a citizen of no mean city. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, miracle number one. He spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Ah, watch this witty guy. Now he wants to get the attention of the Roman soldier. So he speaks in Greek. He wants to get the attention of these rebellious Jews. And he speaks in Hebrew. Holy Ghost filled men just ain't only spirit led, but they should be led with wisdom and understanding and knowledge concerning the situation. We're not heretics, we're not foolish. Then God gives us many different things at our disposal by which we're able to use at various situations. Now watch, so the man gives him permission, so he moves his hand out something like this. And then he's standing there before the folks on the stairs. And you imagine this captain thinking, what in the world is he going to say now? So instead of going into Greek, he goes into Hebrew, not Aramaic. Not the testament of the New Testament language. Not the Chaldeo and Syriac Chaldeo language, which was the hybrid of the Babylonian and the Greek, but the original Hebrew. Glory be to God. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I'll make now. I'm going to make it known to you. Now you're ready to kill me. Please, let me have a trial. Let me make my defense, my brothers. You imagine, friends, them people, some of them standing there clenching their fist, some of them mad, some of them just, them soldiers standing there, Lord have mercy, help us Apollos or whatever the gods they prayed to. Lord, this thing ain't nothing but a powder keg. It could go up at any time. Book of Acts. Continuation. Sounds like a few meetings I've been in. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. So they're already silent, but the language he chose to speak in induced more silence. Now maybe he turned around like this with his back to them and spoke to the soldier in Greek. In Greek languages. So he said, can I speak to them? He said, yeah, in the Greek. So the people said, what's he doing? What's he doing now? So he turns around and, Adonai, Elohim, all the evil said, whoa. So I mean, just this hush goes over the people. They kept the more silence, and he says, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of your most famous Rabban, Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law. That's like he'd be preaching at a Pentecostal church. And he started out, glory to God, we thank God tonight for Acts 2 and 4. Acts 2:38. And boy, them Pentecostals, yeah, yes sir, glory. But they don't know which way you're going. They can't figure out how this is going to go, but you're going to wind up back in Malachi 4, and they don't make no sense of that. How can you come through Acts 2 and wound up backwards in Malachi 4? Because God's give you wisdom. God's give you understanding. Brother Darrell, these evangelists and preachers know when you go out and you know there's certain things in a church, and boy, the Lord will lead you around a certain way and maybe lead you where others will sit there and think, he's compromising. He's compromising. He ain't doing no such thing. He's following the leading of the Spirit of God. God will maybe preach 30 or 45 minutes to be able to give him leeway, to give him 3 or 4 minutes where he can really lay with something and lay it out. That 3 or 4 minutes will straighten out a difficult situation, and he'll resume right on where they can be able to scream and holler amen with him. Oh, hallelujah. Now you imagine, here he stands up here. Now I want you to notice now how carefully he chooses his words. I am a Jew born in Tarsus, city of Sicily, brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Oh, praise the Lord. I was not hybridized. I had a perfect teaching. Now, of course, Gamaliel in this time was one of the great rabbis of the people. He was taught, respected and loved. When he died, they said one of the greatest men of Israel had died, as far as the way they looked at it. So, too, what's he doing? Identifying himself with the Hebrew tongue, identifying himself with one of their teachers and their city. Why? So he can lead them to the cross. Those which can be led. Now, if it started straight off with water baptism, if it started straight off in Jesus' name, Jesus, 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 if you'll notice him, he hardly mentions Jesus. He calls him Lord. Now, Lord, they're not really sure about Lord, because Lord was an Old Testament word. Two of them, actually. One Adonai and one Supreme Ruler. So instead of saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus Christ, filling his whole sermon with it, he says Lord. Now, to him, it is Jesus. To them, it ain't Jesus. Y'all still with me? Oh, my. Now watch, he says, I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. So he was a zealot. I was a zealot as you all are. Boy, y'all are dyed-in-the-wool tape people. Man, I used to be one too, he'd say. Or I was a sudden thunder. Yes, sir, I rallied around, marched around the jaw walls of Jericho. Glory to God. Yes, sir, I was just like you all. I used to be. And I persecuted this way unto the death. I persecuted this way unto the death. Binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Stephen was not the only martyr that Paul caused the death. Now, for those of you who fight your past and deal with terrible things that you've done, terrible wrongs and sins, can any of you say this? How many Christians have you committed to jail and had them killed? How many Christians, Brother Scott, have you committed to jail or had them stoned? Any of the rest of you believers or any of you that are here this service? Can't you see why these folks would have struggled to believe this man would be called of God? Wouldn't God keep a chosen vessel from murder? I persecuted this way. Now watch him. He's addressing them, identifying himself as a Hebrew under the law, so on, so on. And he's showing them, look, I stood against this way too. I didn't just say, well, whatever, you know, just get out of my face, leave me alone type of thing. He said, but I had people imprisoned. I didn't just have them imprisoned, but I was caused to be part of their death. This must have been horrible for him to have to admit this. Lord Jesus. Notice this in Acts 26:10. He says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priest when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Paul's voice sentenced some of these saints to death. Praise the Lord. And you think you've done such horrible things that God can't forgive you. The continuation of the book of Acts. God can pick up people that even sometimes us message folks you look at and say, there ain't even no help for that person. There ain't even no mercy for that person. Friend, there's only one person that knows people's destiny, and that's God. Me and you look at them and we think, boy, it looks like to me there ain't no hope. Oh my, but I'll tell you one thing. I shared it with some preachers today and we was talking about some of these things, and I told them today, I said, you know, we look at people as what they are, but in 5 minutes they can be changed forever. We look at people and think there ain't no hope for them. Boy, they've crossed the line. There ain't none of us know when this man or that woman or boy or girl has crossed the line. Only God knows that. Would we have ever had Paul into our church? How many of the modern churches in this day, how many message churches would allow Paul to come in if he'd have killed some of our deacons or killed some of our sisters? Would we have had a problem with him? Would we have had a real problem in our flesh? This man standing up and preaching love and forgiveness and knowing that he committed your uncle, your daddy, your grandfather, whatever more, to prison. What does it prove? God can reach down farther beyond where man can ever go. You imagine having to stand and give this testimony and some of them saints stand and say, yeah, you hypocrite. You did that, you liar, you devil. Thinking all kinds of they were human just like us. How humiliating, how embarrassing to have to say this publicly. I know how it is a preacher, and all the rest of you preachers know how it is that you relive your sermon anyway over and over again and pick it to pieces. Can you imagine reliving this? The Jews are nice. They're polite. They're listening. Because he ain't brought you up yet. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Praise be to God. Oh, we can't maybe say that, but we was lost, we was whatever more. We can all say them words together, though. I obtained mercy. Well, you say, I'm not fit to be saved. Neither was I, but I obtained mercy. Amen. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Was it so? The lengths to which Paul went to carry out his zeal. He could stand there on the steps and say, look, brothers, I know where you're coming from. I've done worse than what you was intended to do to me today. I've done worse than you. As also the high priest doth bear me witness. Now, you know, this is not something really you'd want to preach in a message church. I mean, call the bishop over at the Pentecostal church. He can tell you, I used to be this. And call the ramrod over here and call the, you know, it's a message people think, come on, guy, let's move up a little bit. But watch the connections. Watch what he's doing. Hoping, Brother David, hoping he can open a heart. Open a heart by something that they have an affinity with. Oh, my. Open the heart by something that'll break down so he even refers to the high priest. As also the high priest doth bear me witness. And all the estate of the elders. Now this is the Sanhedrin. I'm not a kid, new kid on the block, folks. He could say, look, I was first-handed with the high priest. The Sanhedrin sent me out. So you imagine most things. Wow, I didn't know that. The high priest kept this? Oh. Wow. Now the message, folks, is say, oh, come on, Paul, grow up. I used to be in Pentecost. I used to do this and other. Sometimes men of God are saying things they don't even know why they're saying it themselves. But the Spirit of God is leading them down a direction to be able to get a hold of a heart that has an affinity there in order to pull back the shell or the darkness that the light can permeate their soul. And to you, you say, oh, that ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, yeah, but let the Spirit of God speak. Let him do what he wants to do. Oh my, from whom also I received letters
unto the brethren and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Isn't it strange that Jesus would appear at noon? Now at this time, to where they were in the latitude on the earth, this was the brightest time of the sunshine. So Jesus wants to appear when the King of Lights is at his brightest, so Jesus can shine brighter. Now, if it had been at nighttime, it wouldn't have took much light. If it had been the setting of the sun, it wouldn't have took much light. Early in the dawning morning, you know, when the sun's just coming up. But Jesus chose the right time. When the sun is at its strength, and yet he appears in such a light that it puts Paul's eyes in a state to where he cannot see. As I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light. Now here the sun is already shining. Now remember, Damascus, hardly any trees at all, hardly anything around it, but just the city walls and whatever more out, open desert. So there's nothing there. There's no skyscrapers. There's no building to break it down. And the sun is self-permeating so bright. And yet here comes a light that absolutely is brighter than the noonday sun. What was it? Jesus in the form of a pillar of fire. Oh, hallelujah. And yet suddenly this light shone round about from heaven. I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. You know the rest of the scripture. And Saul went on to say, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Now remember, Jesus has turned back into the pillar of fire. He was went back into eternity. Praise the Lord. He's went back into eternity. But I want you to listen how he answers this man. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Why wouldn't he say Jesus from heaven? Why wouldn't he say Jesus from the pillar of fire? Jesus from the throne room? Jesus from eternity? Why would he answer Paul, now the glorified Jesus, the glorified Jesus answering Paul with where he was raised up at? This place which brought him such shame, can there anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet when he raises from the dead and enters back into that glorified state, he identifies himself with the very place that brought him such shame. Can't you see how that he can look at you and love you and say, you are my bride, you are my sweetheart. I am not ashamed to call you my brothers, even though it was your sin that brought shame upon him. It was your unbelief and your shortcoming. But he could say, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Let me relate it to you like this. I am Jesus of my bride. I am Jesus, hallelujah, of the Shulamite. Oh yes, you brought shame on me, but I raise with your shame. I am your Jesus. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Let's stand. Let's stand. I am Jesus. I hope this don't offend you. But if he could appear right here before us tonight, we could say, who are you, Lord? He could say, I'm Jesus of Happy Valley. But he wouldn't be called that name because the Indians that lived here years ago. He'd be called that because you're here. This is your home. So he's part of you. Jesus of Nazareth. I am Jesus. Not I was. I am Jesus of Nazareth.
Don't you love him, son? Come to the earth and took on such a human identity that when he goes back into heaven, he's still calling himself by the earthly place. Why? He got something from there. I don't know if you understand it. He got something from this earth, which he took to eternity. And when he went into eternity, it meant so much to him, he's still hanging on to part of that earthly identity. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. This is my part of the earth, and from this part, I will redeem the rest of it. Oh, don't you love him? Look, friends, how many Wednesday nights have we went through this book of Acts? No miracles. No signs. Nobody raised from the dead, Brother Jim. It's been weeks. It's been weeks since we've seen a lame man jump. A cripple. So the book of Acts is not just about healing and miracles. It's about trouble and lying and tumult and difficulty and mobs. Do we believe in healing? We believe in miracles? Remember we prayed for Sister Vicki Tidwell on Sunday morning? Brother Terry texted me back on Monday. Said after we made prayer, the doctor come in a few minutes and start doing some tests. Her white blood count exploded. I'm not saying it's our prayer. I'm just saying we're part of the prayer. It might have been somebody's prayer in Australia or New Zealand. Now, it don't have to be our prayer, but we're in the body. Whether I pray the prayer of faith or you do, praise God, that's fine. We're family. We're in the body of God. Right? It's among us. It's among us. But that's not what we emphasize. Our emphasis is the word. And these signs shall follow them that believe. We don't follow them. They follow us. Come on, signs. I'm a God called Holy Ghost filled preacher. Come on. Come on. Hang with me. Come on, signs. Come on, healing, miracles, casting out devils. Come on, hang with me. That's who I am. You got to hang tight now. That's who we are. But do we major on that? No. But if it's in there as a minor, then we will play it. You take minor keys out of a song, it ain't going to sound the same. Now, you may not say there are two or three bars in the song, but those two or three bars are important because the author wrote it with a minor in it. We don't want to just stay in a minor all the time. But whenever, I'll tell you one thing, when you got a cancer, it ain't too minor to you. If you got a bad splitting headache, it ain't too minor to you. It's pretty major when you got one yourself, right? So what is it? It's the book of Acts. When we need it, it's among us. When we need something to calm us, it's among us. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes He calms me. Praise the Lord. You ever been there when sometimes He comes on the scene and my, He steps to the bow of His ship and speaks to the wind and calms the winds? Other times He just speaks to you and calms you and the winds are still going on the office ever was and you're just a smiling because you're riding in the palanquin when you're heading back home. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. How many has a need or request? God bless you, saints. Oh, my goodness. Hundreds of hands. Lord Jesus. Would you lay your hand on that person standing up by you? Lord, as we stand here in this place tonight, dear God, we believe You're still the God of the book of Acts. Lord, we've seen You move in healing and miracles and things, Lord, through this book. And then I believe it was You, Lord, that moved upon that Roman, no doubt. And they come down there and grabbed a hold of Paul. If it had delayed a little bit, they'd have killed him. But Your grace intervened, Father. We thank You for that. Help us to realize, Lord, maybe somebody was fixing to run through the traffic light and they would have hit us on the side of our vehicle and killed us and our wife and kids and whatever more. Little did we know that You caused that person's car not to start or something come up and You by Your grace spared our lives. Over and over again, flying in airplanes and all kinds of things. No doubt it's unending how You've watched over us. Oh, we want to thank You tonight, Father. We want to thank You, Lord, for Your grace, for Your protection, for Your love. How many times Satan laid a snare, a trap for us, and you by your grace sprung that trap and we never even knew it was set for us. But your grace, you moved for us. We want to thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the book of Acts, Lord. We thank you for every healing, every sign, every miracle. But Lord, we thank you when your church went into trouble, you was there to keep them. We thank you, Father, for every healing that comes our way. But we want to thank you, Lord, when the trial is gone and the battle is raging, your grace is there with us, Lord. Help us to realize that's the book of Acts as well. When trouble comes and we're able to keep our head above the water, help us to realize that's the book of Acts. Amen. May we not get one-sided, Lord, to think that the book of Acts has only been delivered out of this and that and the other. But the book of Acts has given us strength to go through what we're committed to go through. Thank you for it tonight, Lord. I pray for the people. May the Spirit of God minister to them, Lord. I pray for the invisible audience, those that are streaming, many more out streaming tonight than what there would be visible. May the presence of God go to the sick, to the afflicted, to the weary, Lord God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, may you reach down, Lord God, your mighty healing hand, your hand of deliverance to the needs of your people, Lord. We look to you tonight, Father. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. You love him, saints, with all your heart. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Don't get in your mind now the book of Acts is just healing and signs and wonders and miracles. But the book of Acts is God giving you strength when the enemy comes against you. God delivering your life like he did with Paul when the enemy is out to destroy you. That's the book of Acts working in your life. Maybe a disease break out in your body or something mine, you know, an accident or whatever more. And Satan designed to take your life, but God intervened and moved for you. That's the book of Acts. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Enjoy that tonight.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Let's give the Lord a good hand tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, come tonight. I forgot to get the offering a while ago. Come and let's receive the evening offering. If you was going to give $2, that message ought to make you want to give 5 or 10. Are you glad to be part of what God's doing in the earth? Amen. Brother Harry, let's sing a chorus as we get ready to dismiss tonight. Brother Darrell, would you care to come back and lead us in that chorus again? I just really enjoyed you hearing you sing that. Amen. I love you, buddy. God bless you, buddy.
Praise God. Isn't the Word good?
Amen.
Amen. You can look into the Word and see yourself. Identify yourself with the Word. And the prophet said we become that Word as we receive that Word into our lives. Knowing that it's not a book or a tape. It's a body. Amen. A body. When the Lord Jesus was on that boat of the disciples, they had to wake him up. But Brother Brim said, really, I don't even think he was asleep. He was just waiting for somebody to call him on the scene. And that same Jesus that was on that boat in that body, that same Jesus is here tonight in this body. And we can awaken the Jesus that's in ourselves, friends, to the reality of the Word. If this is what we are, it's not something that's coming. It's here now. Hallelujah. It's here now, friends. This is who we are. Oh, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is that he saw the value of us, because when he looked at us, he sees a representation of himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Amen. He thought I was worth saving, so he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping, so he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for, so he sacrificed his life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everywhere I go. He thought I was worth saving, so he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping, so he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for, so he sacrificed his life, so I could be free,
so I could be whole, so I could tell everywhere I go. Oh, do you believe it tonight? Hallelujah. He thought I was worth saving. Yes, Lord. So you came. I remember the day, Lord, you thought I was worth keeping. Oh, hallelujah. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving.
Yes, indeed.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everywhere I go. You thought I was worth saving. Hallelujah. My life, you thought I was worth keeping. You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free. I could be whole. I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. 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 You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. Sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, was worth saving. Solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor. We'll be right back. Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For my God, I will live. For God, I will die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Say, for my God I would live, for God I would die. Somebody ought to testify. For those Hebrew boys, they could testify how God took the heat out of that fiery fire. Come here, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lions were made pillows for my head to lay. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Say, for my God I would live, for God I would die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Say, for my God I would live, for God I would die. Somebody ought to testify. There have been times in my life I was down in despair. I fell down on my knees. I called on God in prayer. I thanked Him for His blessings. I named them one by one. But most of all, I thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Say, for my God I would live, for God I will die. Somebody ought to testify.